Certainly do appreciate your prayers this morning as we assemble together. And as Brother David mentioned, my surgery, I appreciate your prayers for recovery through that and to be back on my feet again. Brother David mentioned the theme of yesterday had been fellowship within the church a little bit. And my wife and I are babysitting for the past couple days some children that belong to a local minister in town. He and his wife are on a trip, and they're of another persuasion. And they saw me getting up early this morning to leave. And I said, well, does your daddy, does he get up on Saturday mornings and go to church? And the young son said, no, he doesn't. And he was surprised I was going to church on Sunday. And I began to think about that a little bit, and especially on the way down here, counting the number of churches that there are of their persuasion. And, you know, the old Baptists are small. Mm-hmm. But you understand there's a blessing in that?
Yes.
That if, you know, I would to God that everybody in the world believed what we believed. But if there was an old Baptist church on every corner, we wouldn't know half of them.
Yeah.
But I know most of you folks. You've seen me. I've seen you. We know each other. And we know old Baptists hundreds and hundreds of miles away and are welcome in their homes and in their pulpits and have fellowship with them. So there's a great blessing sometimes in being small.
Amen.
Not that I would want to keep the gospel from anyone. I pray to God that they would all hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and obey the gospel, that they might have the joy that we have in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We'll take just a few minutes this morning. There's an impressive lineup of preachers already this morning, so don't want to take any more time than is fit according to the purpose of God. So do ask for your prayers as we spend a few minutes this morning in the Word of God. Let's go over to Ephesians. And get just a few familiar verses. There in the first chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul giving us some foundational text that we can look at. And I want to go down and begin, I think, in the let's go to the fourth verse. I hate to start. Well, this isn't even the middle of, this is still the middle of the sentence. Let's go to the third verse. I hate to start in the middle of a sentence. The Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We need to understand this morning that we are well suited for the purpose that God has called us for.
Amen.
We're studying on Wednesday nights. We're reading through the book of Exodus right now. We started last year in Genesis 1, and we're going chapter by chapter, or as much as we can get in about 30 minutes. And we don't have a Bible study format. I'm just preaching it verse by verse by verse as we're able, and we're reading through in the book of Exodus where Moses is up on the mountain, and God's given to him all of the instruction as to how the worship is going to look. The tabernacle, the ark, the place of sacrifice, the tent, the instruments of service, what the high priest's garment's going to look like, how they're going to sanctify the high priest. And right before Moses goes down out of the mountain to see the people, God sends him down, and it falls on that 40th day to find the people in great sin. God tells Moses, he says, I've chosen, and he tells him who he's chosen, who's going to build all these things that God's told him about. So Moses gets the instruction, and he finds out who's going to build this stuff. And God tells him that he's going to impart to him the knowledge of how to build these things. God gives us the knowledge of how to do what he calls us to do.
Amen.
He did not go out and find 12 men who knew everything there was about the Old Testament law service, who knew everything there was about a devotion to the priesthood. He didn't go find 12 Levites or sons of Aaron. He went out and found 12 normal, everyday, hard-working laborers. Now, a couple of them had a job that was a little bit more prominent than others, but for the most part, they worked with their hands, quite a few there being fishermen. But he called them, and then he suited them to the purpose of their calling.
Right.
Now, we think a lot of times about that in the calling of the ministry. God calls a man to preach, and then he gives him the gift of preaching. Nobody is born with a gift of preaching by his own natural nature, and then God says, oh, he's already ready, I'll just grab him, that'll be an easy one. He calls, in my opinion, sometimes the hardest cases there are. And then he suits them to be able to go out and do what he's called them to do. And we think about that sometimes in terms of the ministry. But you know, that applies to every child of God.
Amen.
He has called the most reprobate, disgusting, depraved by nature individuals to be his children. And he took that lot of people that weren't worth a puddle of spit, and he made them to be righteous and holy and perfect, equipped to every good work that he called them to do.
Amen.
Every child of God is called by God for righteous and holy purpose and set aside for that. That's what sanctification is, to be set aside for a righteous and a holy purpose. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Sometimes we're like Moses was, saying, Lord, I can't do that. I can't go speak. I can't go do that. I can't pray. I can't forgive. You ever had somebody say, I just can't forgive them for what they did?
No.
Brother, if you can just grab hold and hold on to what Christ has given you, you can forgive anything.
Amen.
You can literally forgive the worst sins that men cast upon you.
Yeah.
If we're more like Christ.
Right.
He has equipped all of his children. We all have a gift. It's not all the same gift. If it was, church would be a little bit boring, wouldn't it? Who's going to pray? Well, nobody's got the gift of prayer. We've all got the gift of something else. So I'm thankful this morning we have sufficient number of diverse gifts. The church is not lacking in what it needs. The Lord has given it a diversity of gifts.
Amen.
Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then we get our common foundational verses on election and predestination. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now let's stop just a second and consider that. Everything that God has done is according to the good pleasure of his will. God has a will. I find no place in my Bible that says God has a plan.
Right.
But I find a lot of places that says God has a will.
Yes.
You know, a plan can change. A will, if it is your will, and God being who he is, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, being perfect in everything, God's will does not change. He says, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, if the will of God changed toward us, we could be consumed in a moment.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't have any peace in that. I wouldn't find any comfort or rest in that. But to know that the will of God toward His people does not change. According to the good pleasure of His will. It seems like for some reason, you know, you hear things sometimes and you just catch them over and over again. So the folks this week I've been hearing say, you know, if you'll let God, if you'll let Him into your heart, if you'll let Him do what He wants to do, if you'll let. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, God does what God wants to do.
Amen.
And if somebody is not, if they're not heaven bound when they die, it's because God didn't want them.
Yeah.
Not because they didn't want God. Now, they didn't want Him, but it's because He didn't want them.
Right.
See, that sort of goes both ways. We love God because He first loved us, and we don't want God because He doesn't want us.
Yeah.
Well, that being the wicked, mm-hmm. and that's a whole other subject folks have a lot of trouble with.
Yeah.
But to me, I understand that the nature of God in loving a people and not loving another group of people simply shows His authority and His power to do that.
Amen.
God has the authority for His will. If it's God's will that He save us from a particular situation, or that He allow that situation to come upon us, God can stop anything He wants to stop.
That's true.
And sometimes people say, well, why has God let this happen? Why is this evil come upon us? God certainly can stop anything He wants to, but sometimes God allows things to happen for our benefit ultimately.
Yes.
That we might learn faith, that we might fall upon our knees. What a shame it is that we seem to fall upon our knees more when God allows something to come upon us and we recognize we're not able to deal with it. Throughout the book of Judges, you find situation after situation where Israel, oh, they're doing pretty good, things are going well, and they begin to stray away from God and to worship some false idol or some false teaching, and they get involved in that, and then God sends a judgment upon them. He allows something to happen to them. Maybe they're overtaken by an enemy nation, the Philistines come in, or somebody comes in and persecutes them, and they begin to cry out unto God, God, deliver us. Does this sound familiar? We're no different than this.
Amen.
People are no different than they were since God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. They sinned in transgression. We're just like Noah's family was. We're just like the patriarchs of old were. We do what we want to when it suits us, and when it doesn't suit us, we begin to cry unto God to save us from ourselves. And so they would cry unto God. He'd send a deliverer to them, a judge to them, to bring them out of that condition. And oh, they'd get more righteous than they ever had been at the end of that. And they begin to cry unto God, oh, we love You, Lord. We'll serve You forever. And then they forget about God again. What a cycle to go through as a nation of people. Up and down and up and down. Are we any different ourselves? Sometimes we're up and down and up and down. We remember God when we need Him. We forget God when we're doing pretty good by ourselves, or at least we think we are by ourselves.
Amen.
We've never done good by ourselves, but we have been deceived into thinking that many times. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Everything is to the praise of the glory of the grace of God. Everything is to His praise and honor. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Folks will look up at the nighttime sky and they'll see all these stars. You know, we've got telescopes that can see far, far away into space. And folks will say, well, you must be pretty arrogant people to think that this is all for you. That you're the only human being. Personally, I believe the only people in existence live on this planet.
Me too.
I've always been a big sci-fi nut. I love that sort of thing, but I don't really believe there's anybody out there. If they are, God put them there.
Yeah.
You know, I can be proven wrong. If they're there, God put them there.
Right.
But, folks, so you're pretty arrogant to think all of this is for you. No, I don't think all this is for me.
That's right.
I think all of that is for God.
Yes.
It's for me to look at, but to glorify God in the viewing. The flower that grows on a mountain that no man has ever climbed is there for the glory of God.
Amen.
Everything is to His praise. We, I told my daughter, I said, I'm not going to preach if they call on me. I came to worship, brother. I'd have been happy if you hadn't called on me. I said, if they call on me, I'm not going to preach what I've been preaching at home the past few Sundays. I've been preaching on giving money. We preached two Sundays on what the Bible says about giving.
Right.
We preached one Sunday on what the Bible says, what you're supposed to do with your money. And there's about five or six things, particularly the Bible says you need to do this with your money. Then last Sunday we preached on support of the church and the ministry. But one of the statements that I found in my studies is that if everything belongs to the Lord, if everything is created by Him, for Him, everything gives Him glory, and the Lord owns the cattle of a thousand hills, then all the money is His.
Right.
And someone wrote one time that every time you spend money, that's a spiritual decision.
Mm.
You know, we go down to the store and we'll throw $2 down for a bottle of soda, not think anything about it, but that was $2 the Lord gave us.
Right.
That's a spiritual decision. Is this going to be to the glory of the Lord? Or is this just going to run my sugar level up or to desecrate the temple of God? And that's a trivial thing, but you know, some things are a little more serious.
Yes.
That we spend our money on. I've always tried to be particularly careful what I do with the $5 that some little old widow woman gives me because I knew she didn't have it. But it's more blessed to give than receive, so I received it so she might get a blessing. But, you know, I think about where that $5 go. I don't really think too much about where $5 out of my paycheck goes because that's just a small part of that. But it's a spiritual decision because it belonged to the Lord. So if everything is to give glory to the Lord, think about that in terms of everything. What we say, what we do, how we walk, where we go, what we use, the gifts that God has given to us to use. Are we glorifying God in them? In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. You know, sometimes we think, well, I just don't understand what this says. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't understand what the Lord wants me to do. I don't understand what this verse says. You know, if we just really thought about what we do know,
yes,
instead of what we don't know.
Amen.
Paul said He has given unto us the mystery of His will.
Yeah.
You have a great mystery. Even though He says we see through a glass darkly, we see.
Amen.
He doesn't say you're blind.
Amen.
He doesn't say you're wandering around bumping into the wall. He says we see. What a blessing. Even though it's darkly sometimes and we don't understand, I always have akin that verse of Scripture to, we have stained glass windows at the church at home, and a lot of churches have stained glass windows, and you can't see through them. You don't know what's outside. But there is one thing you know outside. When it's daylight, you see the light.
Right.
When it's night, you see the darkness. Or you don't see anything. We see through a glass darkly. We may not know the fine details of what God has done or why he didn't. I believe one day we will. We'll see him as he is in the resurrection, for we shall be as he is. But the one thing, little child of God, you can see today is you can see the light of God shining down upon you, and you know he's present with you.
Amen.
And we do have some of the details. We have some of the details. Now, he's written his laws on our heart. I've always enjoyed Jeremiah 31, and Paul gets back into it in Hebrews, talking about the New Testament covenant, that you shall no more teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. There's not a child of God in the world after he's born again who does not know the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Now, he may not know all the words of this book. He may not know exactly what he's supposed to. You know, he may not know he's supposed to be in church on Sunday morning, but he looks at that flower and he knows a greater power created it.
Amen.
He feels the sun shining down upon him. He feels the condemnation of his sins when he does something wrong. They shall all know me from the least to the greatest. And the Lord says he'll draw every one of them to him. Let's focus on what we know about the Lord.
Amen.
He loves a sinner like me. I'll close with this thought. You remember the young man, I think I've got this story correct in my head, the young man that was born blind and he was healed. And he was being questioned by the Pharisees. They were upset. I mean, God forbid that Jesus heal somebody and do something good. And they were saying, well, you know, who is this man? What did he do? How do you know him? Is he a sinner? The young man said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see.
Amen.
I don't know near as much about Jesus Christ as I wish I did. But I tell you one thing, whereas I was blind, now I see. And I hope one day to see even better.
Amen.
And one day I trust I will. In the resurrection, I'll see him as he is. For I shall be as he is. I appreciate your time, appreciate your prayers, your presence this morning, and your fellowship in the Lord.